The Sutra of the Heart of Transcendent Knowledge. Thus have I heard, once the Blessed One was dwelling in Rajagriha at Vulture Peak Mountain, together with a great gathering of the Sangha of monks and a great gathering of the Sangha of Bodhisattvas. At that time, the Blessed One entered the Samadhi that expresses the Dharma called profound illumination, and at the same time, Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, while practicing the profound Prajnaparamita, saw in this way. He saw the five skandhas to be empty of nature. Then, through the power of the Buddha, Venerable Shariputra said to Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, how should a son or daughter of noble family train who wishes to practice the profound Prajnaparamita? Addressed in this way, Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, said to Venerable Shariputra, O Shariputra, a son or daughter of noble family who wishes to practice the profound Prajnaparamita should see in this way, seeing the five skandhas to be empty of nature. Form is emptiness, emptiness also is form, emptiness is no other than form, form is no other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness are emptiness. Thus, Shariputra, all dharmas are emptiness. There are no characteristics, there is no birth and no cessation. There is no impurity and no purity. There is no decrease and no increase. Therefore, Shariputra, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no perception, no formation, no consciousness. No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no appearance, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch, no dharmas, no eye dhatu up to no mind dhatu, no dhatu of dharmas, no mind consciousness dhatu, no ignorance, no end of ignorance up to no old age and death, no end of old age and death, no suffering, no origin of suffering, no cessation of suffering, no path, no wisdom, no attainment, and no non-attainment. Therefore, Shariputra, since the Bodhisattvas have no attainment, they abide by means of Prajnaparamita. Since there is no obscuration of mind, there is no fear. They transcend falsity and attain complete nirvana. All the Buddhas of the three times by means of Prajnaparamita fully awaken to unsurpassable, true, complete enlightenment. Therefore, the great mantra of Prajnaparamita, the mantra of great insight, the unsurpassed mantra, the unequaled mantra, the mantra that calms all suffering should be known as truth since there is no deception. The Prajnaparamita mantra is said in this way, Te Ata Om Gate Gate Paragate Parasangate Bodhisoha. Thus Shariputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, should train in the profound Prajnaparamita. Then the Blessed One arose from that samadhi and praised Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, saying, Good, good, O son of noble family. Thus it is, O son of noble family. Thus it is. One should practice the profound Prajnaparamita just as you have taught, and all the Tathagatas will rejoice. When the Blessed One had said this, Venerable Shariputra and Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, that whole assembly in the world with its gods, humans, asuras, and gandharvas, rejoiced and praised the words of the Blessed One. Gala jube ne jo tamba ne Nguje du chu nga yi du jo jen Rupa bo la ma yi wu jin zi Ne zong kan dro tso la sha tse lo Teyata Om Gate Gate Paragate Parasangati Bodhisoha Papa Goju Sumji Gai Dempe Dorje She Nyoba Dorje Nyoba Dorje Shewa Dorje Dragi Bachi Metumpi Shudanji She Ding Gori Soha Giri Tonta Jeju Shewa Da Mitu Nube Jendan Jawa Da Tumba Dujin Ponzon So Georgi Jaji de John Denda de Le Jean. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient living beings enjoy this pure realm. Holy Lamas high, wrap the sky of your Dharma bodies, massive clouds of knowledge and love, and let them pour upon the earth of your disciples as we are ready, the shower of rain, the teachings deep and wide. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. Idam Guru Radha Mandalakam Niratayam. Chidanzoji Jodam Nan Janju Badu Dani Yazuji Dagi Chini Jibesananji Jolambenji Sanje Jubarjo Chidanzoji Jodam Nan Janju Badu Dani Yazuji Dagi Chini Jibesananji Drola benji zanje jubaryo Chodan zaji chodam na Jan chubadu da ni jazu ji Dagi chenye ji besa nanji Drola benji zanje jubaryo
Namo la yege na lo na ni yege Drama da da me yege na da lo Alku di da na se na Tanjiki do, Daki Chudu do. What dang at you?
Could you give me a soda?
Gonda.
Tadana kashu gore, ta lan rungi dhyan da nanda jiba sunga lan chini bada resi marba, jiba chukundi chenku, wadda sunga jiba gore.
In looking at the text, The Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment by the Master Atisha, we see that the true meaning of this text is the breakdown of the three scopes, or the meaning of the teachings of the small capacity, the teaching of the medium capacity, and the teaching of the great capacity. So this can all be broken down into these three categories. Thank you.
Oje ta tene kaju gore ta sanje ge chuchu de madu ba ina chebu song ge chunan de nu gozare chebu song ge chugo de galere sana an tananga zo majin de diware an shimalaya nga zo me tu zia jowa ina nga zo gabu yore shimalaya hada me Wadanagi Kopon Toba Yin and Nazu Kabu Yoris, Kabu Yosa, and the Sanjigi, and the Motul Tia Chugu, the Tambor is, Mudbe, ngoto lada me gubun tria de chobe chungo chungo da tumo yi lanje rin badin zar is.
So the Buddha taught these three different scopes, or the teachings for beings of three different capacities. And in looking at the first scope, or the teaching shared in common with beings of small capacity, we see that there is a recognition that at this moment we have a human form, and in the future lives we would like to be able to take on a form or a rebirth in the higher realms, into the God's realms or the human realm once again. So the way, or the method in which to do this, was taught during the first turning of the wheel to the various beings. And this was taught exclusively to show beings how to obtain a rebirth into the higher realms in their future. So then the next scope, or the next level of recognition, is that even in the gods and the human realms, there are various types of suffering. They still have to endure the suffering of birth, the suffering of aging, the suffering of sickness, and the suffering of death. So then this type of practitioner looks for the causal factors of cyclic existence, the causal factors for the six realms of rebirth. And then the person, type of person who would like to be free from all these types of suffering which pervade the six realms of cyclic existence is called a being of medium capacity, or a medium scope practitioner. So what is the method that one must utilize in order to achieve liberation or freedom from cyclic existence? And this method is a practice of the three higher trainings: the higher training of ethics, the higher training of concentration, and the higher training in wisdom. So the medium capacity practitioner, or the teachings that are shared in common with beings of a medium capacity, emphasize these three higher trainings as a method to achieve liberation. Liberation here is the English for nirvana, which is Sanskrit.
Rani dungel nga ban juwe nga juwe tshe shivu yuwaris. Rani dungel tando ge taba dunye gulo. Uwa tanda yuwaris. Ta chibu chenbu tage, anna susu dhwaan dhwaan naaji, senchen tanji ki dhwaan dhwaare. Susu dungel man dhwaan naaji, senchen tanji ki dungel dhwaare. Anna senchen tanji dungel tana, senchen tanji ki dungel meba shunna nyabe. Sanglu jya chibu yuwa, tala chibu chibu sa diin sar samarba.
So the medium scope practitioner, or a being of medium capacity, renounces the suffering altogether. And this type of practitioner wishes to achieve liberation for his or herself alone. So there is no emphasis or no focus on others. This type of liberation is only a liberation for the practitioner engaged in this medium scope, or this type of being of medium capacity. The great scope practitioner recognizes not only that he or she wishes to have happiness and wishes to be free from suffering, but also that all other sentient beings wish to have happiness and wish to be free from suffering. So then the great scope practitioner, or being of great capacity, then wishes to renounce the suffering of all sentient beings. So in the medium scope, that type of practitioner only wishes for liberation for his or herself. The great scope practitioner wishes to achieve liberation for all sentient beings. So the renunciation is much broader in the great scope as opposed to the motivation in the medium scope.
The chukur sum jipusung kakare.
Okay. So when we look at these three scopes or teachings for beings of three capacity, all of the teachings of Buddha, both Sutra and Tantra, Hinayana and Mahayana, can be fit into these three categories. The smaller scope would be looked at as the preliminary turning of the wheel, or preliminary teaching. And then the medium scope would be the medium level of teaching, and then the great scope would be the greatest capacity of teaching that the Buddha gave. So all of these categories, other kinds of categories, will fit into these three scopes.
Oje tat ne teba chembi teba chembi tu de shangju ge sen res mar ba ji da shangju ge sen zu res shangju ge sen jian ta ji ge dong do an sa ji gu mu tu ba sha wo nya be sa ji gu mu tu ba yin na an sa ji le chen ba da ne ba da zo wa ne ta xin ba res de yin so da an jian sen jian ta ji de wa de wa lu gu ya dong ge me ba zu ya nyu gu du Tengi sonsa, ane guba tiye che dunga sanji gubun tuba shao nyabe san lu shu chibute la ane shanchu ge sensi gwarisi marbe.
At the root of the great vehicle, or the Mahayana, is the bodhicitta, the mind that aspires to enlightenment. And the enlightenment here, in the bodhicitta, just translator's note, is a full enlightenment, complete Buddhahood. So, the mind that aspires to enlightenment is the enlightenment of a Buddha. And here is the focus on all sentient beings, and the desire to bring sentient beings to a state of happiness and to eradicate all of the suffering of sentient beings, and to bring them ultimately to a state of Buddhahood. So here the practitioner desires this mind because this leads to the ultimate goal of Buddhahood, and if one is a Buddha, then he or she will have omniscience and all of the other good qualities that a Buddha possesses, and truly be able to bring sentient beings to those places which they wish to be, those places of happiness which are empty of suffering or free from suffering.
For
the bodhicitta to arise, or for this mind generation to take place, it's necessary for there to be causal factors. There are preliminaries. And these preliminaries are the previous scopes. The medium scope, one develops renunciation, and renunciation is the cause for bodhicitta. But in order to for one to have the realization of renunciation, or the desire to definitely get out, then it's also necessary to have the desire to be free from the lower realms suffering, and to have the recognition of the different kinds of suffering that one has to endure in the different realms of cyclic existence. So this is why these are called teachings shared in common with beings of small capacity, and teachings shared in common with beings of a medium capacity, and then the great scope. The reason these prior two scopes are called shared in common is because they are causal factors for each other, and causal factors ultimately for the great scope. So the six perfections that are spoken of are actually effects as well. And the six perfections, we could say, are the effect of the cause, bodhicitta, or the mind that aspires to enlightenment. Because if one has this mind that aspires to enlightenment, then the practice of the six perfections can truly take place. So it's necessary to have this preliminary factor present in order for the six perfections to truly be practiced. And then one can practice the five paths and traverse those different paths and go through the 10 bodhisattva grounds if these other factors are present. If they are not present, and then one traverses various stages of the path, and there is a lack of bodhicitta, or there is no bodhicitta, then work that one does in the various stages will just produce the liberation of a hearer or the liberation of a solitary realizer and will not produce complete enlightenment. So we see that the mind that aspires to enlightenment, or bodhicitta, is very important and indispensable on the path to Buddhahood. So here in the English, the fifth stanza of the root text for the lamp for the path to enlightenment says, those who, through their personal suffering, truly want to end completely all the suffering of others are persons of supreme capacity. So here this speaks of a being who recognizes his or her own suffering and the downfalls of that, and then turns his or her focus onto other sentient beings and realizes that they also have to endure suffering as well. So then the desire is to truly end not only one's suffering, one's own suffering, but to end the suffering completely of all sentient beings. So here, this is basically what the person of supreme capacity or a being of great capacity is defined as. So when we speak of beings of small capacity, beings of great capacity, beings of medium capacity, and beings of great capacity, here we're speaking of beings or person. This is specific to a type of person. Whereas when we speak of the teachings of beings of small capacity or medium capacity or great capacity, this is different. This is speaking of the teachings for those types of beings. And then when we speak of the path for beings of great capacity, small capacity, medium capacity, etc., this refers to the path itself. So this is the difference between the wordings. A being of great capacity or medium capacity is one who practices the teachings for a being of medium, great, or small capacity, and practices the path for beings of medium, small, and great capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So in the small beings of small capacity look to have liberation from the lower realms and to achieve the freedom of the higher realms, but it's only for themselves alone. And the being of medium capacity or middle capacity wishes to achieve nirvana or liberation, but it's only for his or herself alone. There is no focus on anyone else. The being of great capacity wishes to bring all sentient beings to a state of liberation or to a state of Buddhahood. So here, this being's motivation is much greater. The scale of thinking is much greater. It's much more vast because the focus is on all other beings simultaneously with the focus to free oneself. So the actual scope of mind is much more broad, and this is why the practitioner, him or herself, is called a being of great capacity because of the vastness or the greatness of the motivation. The tambo.
Sheba tangjawa.
Sheba tangjawa.
De tawa dena. Sejen tamba shang chu chun doba joba da da la lama na ji tenba yi yang da ta ni sheba shas. Tangja.
Yin
chit ni de ni chu. Sejen tamba shang chu chu doba joba da da la lama na ji tenba yi yang da ta ni sheba shas.
So here we're going to the sixth stanza. I just want to be very literal and make sure that I'm picking the perfect words out. So the sixth stanza says, "For those excellent living beings who desire supreme enlightenment, I shall explain the perfect methods taught by the spiritual teachers." So here there are two sections. Okay, then Rinpoche, Chishina de Pento, the Tambo, Semchen Tancha,
Tawa, Shan
Chu Chu, the Donagar, the Tambo
Dangipa Kabi. The Tambo Dangipa Kabi. The Tambo Dangipa Kabi. The Tambo Dangipa Kabi. The Tambo Teba chenpi shangchu tuban dogorwa. Teba chenpi shangchu tuban dogorwa. Senjian tamba shangchu chu. Senjian tamba sena tamba chiba chenpi yijirwa. Shangchu senba suge karin dogorasena shangchu chenpo sanji gubun tuban dogoras. Senjian tamba shangchu chu doba chuba has. Sanji gubun tuban doba yuwaras. Shangchu chenpo tuban doba yuwaras. Shangchu chenpo tuba la Tao mabu guguris, tetabi tao de lama zu sanje ge song yuaris, ane sanje dang, ane keba mabu song yuaris, tetabi tao de ane chuji ge ma song yins, what does it mean?
So here it says, for those excellent living beings who desire supreme enlightenment. Here, the excellent living beings, what makes them excellent living beings? It's that there is a recognition that there is a large amount of method and wisdom and accumulation that must take place in order for one to achieve this type of enlightenment. And they're called excellent because this type of enlightenment is focused on all sentient beings and the relief of all sentient beings' suffering. So this is what makes this type of enlightenment the supreme enlightenment, because it's the highest enlightenment that one can achieve, or the final status. So then there is a promise of explanation, or a promise to compose here that says, I shall explain the perfect methods taught by the spiritual teachers. So here, the promise to compose is written by Lord Atisha. So when we speak of this generation of bodhicitta, or generation of the mind that aspires to enlightenment, then we have to speak of the different kinds of bodhicitta, or the different minds that aspire to enlightenment. And here there is aspirational bodhicitta and engaged bodhicitta. And even though we've explained this previously in a very easy fashion, we can see that it's in the text, but it's hidden in the text. So we have to find out where it implicitly speaks of these types of bodhicitta. Okay, so if we were to say, what are the divisions of bodhicitta, or the mind that aspires to enlightenment, we would posit that there are two divisions, aspirational bodhicitta and engaged bodhicitta. So we would say the subject bodhicitta is divided into two, aspirational bodhicitta and engaged bodhicitta. Then if the question were asked, what are the causal factors for the mind that aspires to enlightenment? What causes bodhicitta? Then the answer would be the two causal factors, one being the seven-point cause and effect for achieving bodhicitta, passed down through the extensive deeds lineage from Master Maitreya to Asanga, or the equalizing and exchanging self with others, passed down in the profound view lineage from Master Manjushri to Nagarjuna, and so forth. So these are the two causal factors of bodhicitta. So the first lineage of the lineage of the extensive deeds passed from Maitreya to Asanga is called the seven-point cause and effect for achieving bodhicitta. And in this there is one effect, which is the actual mind generation or the actual bodhicitta, in six causes. The first being recognizing all sentient beings as our mothers. The second is remembering their kindness. The third is wishing to repay their kindness. The fourth is love through the force of attraction. Fifth is great compassion. Sixth, the extraordinary attitude. And the seventh, again, is the effect, which is bodhicitta, or the mind that aspires to enlightenment. To understand these words, it might be quite easy to understand what this actually means. But to have a realization based on these words is much more difficult. One needs to think again and again over a long period of time and engage in analysis over and over in order to actually produce mind generation in one's continuum. It's not something that will arise very quickly. So it's important to realize this and recognize that although it may seem simple, in order to produce the seventh step, which is the effect, it's quite hard. Similar to a ground, it's very difficult when one first has a field that might not be fertile, and one has to till it and do various things that are necessary, fertilizer and water, and make sure it's in the appropriate place. And all these things must take place prior to having a good crop. But once all this has taken place, then one can plant seeds and a crop can develop properly. But if these preliminary things are not done, then the crop cannot be produced. Likewise, it's necessary to think over and over and over again about these topics, about these six causal factors, and to engage in analysis and look at it from various different angles in order to produce a very stable, strong realization of bodhicitta, in order to produce the actual mind generation, which is the goal. And mind generation, Mahayana mind generation, is synonymous with bodhicitta and the mind that aspires to enlightenment in English, just so people know if you read that. Then Jipa the Donagare, the Inji the Nitsar, Ngapa Yure.
Dajin Ji Sambangus in the Roda, Ran Jinzi, the Jin Jinzi, and the Jin Jibanzi, Ran Yuan Dubaina, Dajin Jiwamar.
Aha,
what the Jong Sambangus,
what that's so.
Less
so. So the equalizing and exchanging self with others tradition is explained differently in various texts. But one explanation, it can be broken down into five different categories. The first is the recognition of the actual change of self and others. So the first is looking at others' needs and instead of focusing on one's own. So the first that takes place is the actual exchange. The second is a familiarization with the faults of self-cherishing. And the third is the benefits of cherishing others, or the excellent qualities one attains from cherishing others. The fourth is the actual exchange of wishing that one's own excellent qualities could then be changed into others, and the others' faults and downfalls could come on to oneself. And the fifth is the actual giving and taking meditation practice, where one actually does a practice of the exchange of through giving and taking. So these are just the five, and Rinpoche will explain each one of them. He said.
소수 그 되는 가서 그래 소수 있는다 소수 그 다 있는다 소수 있는 있는다 되네 밤이 세제 있는다 세제 다지 더 많이 버리스 더 많이 버리스 더 많이 버리스 동해 만도 버지 버리스 동해 만도 버냐 버리스 동해 만도 버냐 봐 대인 소자 다제 냐 버산 다도 어디 있어리스
I think I said the wrong word for the first one, so I'm just going to correct it. Maybe I didn't, but I was kind of running through there. The first one is the actual equalization. And it's equalization, I think I didn't explain it as clearly. It's an exchange, recognizing that our friends, enemies, and neutrals, others than ourselves, want the same things that we do. So we exchange that actual view to create a more equal ground. First, we recognize that our friends are not stable and that our enemies are not either. Our friends could become our enemies could become our friends. Strangers don't seem to have any sort of reaction from us either way, but they have the potential for us to react to them in either way. So it's the recognition that they also wish to not have suffering, and they're all the same as ourselves. So we try to create this equalization or equanimity relative to ourselves and others. So there's an exchange that takes place, because previously we only focused on ourselves and what our needs were. Now we focus on others and create an equal ground because of this.
What the numbers yet? That Rajin's in the June Gutoman and some was Rajin's in the June Yores, Rajin's in Tigger, Rajin's in Rani Chevans if you join in the Mendu Dugenji Vijutone, Lelend and Kondosh Danzi Dushan Jubashinjibus, Rajibans if a Naro Jibushuna Nabe, Rajibans if San Lutege, Joa Tuma Mevan, Di Batumazo, Kualukune, Dugen Yodiate. Jiu the Rajin's in two yards. Rajin's in the Junchu yards. Rajiban's in the Karzagore. All Karzagore. Rajin's in the Junior to what the good man Saldan Guris, Marva. Good man Junior Saldan, Rajin's in dog Guris, cow Guris.
Bless her. So once we've established this equal ground or this equalization relative to ourselves and others, then we begin to look at the downfalls of a self-cherishing attitude or the faults of a self-cherishing attitude. All of the types of suffering that we've ever had to endure have been caused by a self-cherishing attitude. It's been stated that at the root of all six realms of cyclic existence, we can find the self-cherishing attitude, because the self-cherishing attitude is what creates all of the sufferings of the different realms of cyclic existence. So then we have to try to abandon this self-cherishing attitude and take on something other than it, because it has caused us problems since beginningless time. And since beginningless time, we have been forced to suffer because of it.
That Rajiban Ziba, Naro Jibu Jona, and have a song of the Yoba Insulza, Rajin's in Yosa, and a Susuginiel Chabajin words, Magat Susu Dalon words, Pamisigel Tanyo, and the Chadon, Kondutan, the Mutinichi, T. Jusheva Tene, and Numutu Jim words, T. Yonki Lunaki, Dibasane, and a Nesun, Kualukune, Dungesia Mabate. What the Rajin's in the world is, Marbe?
It's from this self-cherishing attitude that wishes, may I myself have pleasant things, may I always have things that are nice and good, that causes us to react towards our enemies, causes us to become very angry, causes us to have lust and attachment towards our friends and lovers. It causes us to just disregard strangers. It causes all of our rebirths into the lower realms, and it causes all of the six realms of cyclic existence. So it's because of this self-cherishing attitude that we act out in various ways and create more afflictions and create actions that were based on these unpleasant emotions, which will in the future produce suffering. It's because of the self-cherishing attitude that even a Hinayana foe destroyer is placed in that lengthy state of bliss. It's because of self-cherishing attitude that he or she chooses to stay for many, many eons in a single-pointed state of bliss and does not leave that state. So we can see that even a being who has reached the state of foe destroyer still has this self-cherishing attitude. Whenever there's a problem with nations, or countries have wars, or any of these terrible things are going on, this is a direct result of the self-cherishing attitude. An attitude that one nation wishes to have good things and possess and be happy and have a certain level of happiness. And then that self-cherishing attitude then creates all of these negative events. So moving on to number three, the excellent qualities of cherishing others. All forms of happiness that we've ever had were a direct result of cherishing others. Any of the realizations or excellent qualities that the Buddhas possess, the Bodhisattvas possess, beings in the lesser vehicle tradition, any of the ordinary beings or the superiors, all of the happiness that a god or a human can have, any of these different types of happiness that were just spoken of were a direct result of the attitude which cherishes others and abandons the self-cherishing attitude. So, do we have examples? What are some examples of this actually taking place, of the attitude that cherished others, which gave some benefit? And we can look no further. We need to look no further than Buddha Shakyamuni. Buddha Shakyamuni was exactly like ourselves. He had suffering, he had afflictions, and he had all of the negative things that we have to experience. But he abandoned the attitude which cherished himself and took on an attitude which cherished others. And it was by doing this that he was able to achieve the state of Buddhahood, achieve the state where there was no higher state to achieve. So we are the same as Buddha Shakyamuni, except for one major factor, and that is that we have not abandoned a self-cherishing attitude, And we actually engage in our self-cherishing attitude, and we abandon the attitude which cherishes others. And it's because of this that we are not Buddha Shakyamuni. We have abandoned our chances to achieve that state because of our attitude. So we need to change our attitude from the self-cherishing attitude to an attitude which cherishes others if we would like to become Buddhas.
Oje ta somba jibare ba dajen ji somba ngun se ya de dajen ji somba ngun se ya de ka shugore ta raj jeban ji bi so de jen jeban ji bi so de ra jen yuan du so de ra yuan do ba ina an sa lu ni jibu lu ja ba des jibu lu ja ba de dajen ji somba ngun so de des.
So the next is the exchange of self and others that takes place, and this is a specific thinking where we imagine that we are the other person. We imagine that we are other than. Easier way to put this is put ourselves in someone else's shoes is a slang term, which means the same exact thing. So we imagine that we're someone else, and we imagine that we take that same desire for our own happiness, and we are imagining that we're them and wishing for them to have that same power of desire for happiness that we had for ourselves. So here, this is just an exchange in our actual motivation or our thoughts, where we disregard our own needs and wants and so forth, and we take that same emphasis on our own needs and wants and put it to others. So we emphasize on their own needs and wants and imagine that we are them. And this is the exchange that takes place, and we think about it over and over again.
Oje ta tela tene tole gombi su se ta kande tole gombi su de marbe ta tene da jenya ba je gune se je tu lo jon ku tu sures lo jon ti je ma den lo jon de de ma lo jon chen ja ko lo ane lo jon ni me ze za da ta lo jon na lo lo de da jenya ba je gune se je tu de on de res.
So the next step arrives in dependence upon the previous step of this actual exchange that takes place. And we can find this process of equalizing and exchanging self and others in various texts. We can find it in the 8 verses for mind training, in the 7-point thought transformation, in mind training like the rays of the sun, in the wheel of sharp weapons, or the wheel weapon mind training is how it would literally be translated. So all of these texts explain steps up to the giving and taking practice, or the tonglen practice in the Lojong tradition, or the mind training tradition.
Well, that only cause a mojo tonglen bima gongsi. Lojong ge mojo de tonglen gongha dere se ta jen ya ba je gu ne sen je bi
So in the root text by Atisha for the mind training, it says begin with the preliminaries and then engage in giving and taking. So the preliminaries here refer to stages that are shared in common with beings of a small scope, stages that teachings shared in common with beings of a medium scope, and then actually doing the giving and taking practice. So this is what it's meant in the mind training, the root text of the mind training.
That's ane agaza o phal ta du le yo ka bi na ba gwa ta lo yo ka bi na ba sin jen ta ji lo pu ne sin jen ga lo je bu chong song nya ba sha ba gu wa sa des che ten o du yo na bu de na gu ye ba ne jong de ane ra jin ji la tin ne sin jen ga lo de wa do nge da te song nya bi hi ji gu ya tone tu su gu wa de sha ba de hi ji gu wa de tone lu la jin bi chun de jin si ya
So while doing this giving and taking practice, we imagine that in the space in front of us, all sentient beings are suffering, and they are all around us, all forms of sentient being. And we imagine that in the form of a black light into our right nostril, that we're taking on all of the suffering of the sentient beings in the space in front of us. So we imagine that a black ray is coming into our right nostril, and it's relieving all of these beings of the various types of suffering that they're having to endure. And then we imagine once the black ray has entered into our nostril, we imagine that it destroys our self-cherishing attitude. We imagine that it completely obliterates or completely eradicates our self-cherishing attitude. Then we imagine in the form of a white light from our left nostril, that we're giving all sentient beings all forms of happiness. So we're imagining that in the space in front of us, all sentient beings are abiding, and this white light is going to them and transforming whatever their state they're into a state of bliss or into a state of happiness. Now this practice is actually a giving and taking practice which becomes a meditation on love and compassion. Compassion being the wish to take all sentient beings' suffering away that we're doing through our right nostril and black light, and love, which is wishing all sentient beings to have happiness and giving them that happiness in the form of a white light.
Kansan Nandu Sandayang as a me to Andu, Sansan Chuluge, and the Sajem Momoshendia, and the Sanjun Tenduas, what the Nugi Nasu to Tonyon do, and the Lansan, and the Susu go out to go Yogabi in Naba, Sajem Dungan to Sulpune, and Kosukachibu Chun Yabi, and the Shambagoya. Then Yuanabi Naban to Satan on do, and the Sajem Dungan to Sungalo. Ane dungen tu jas monyam hiji gonya. Chela kong tu gong la jas. Kaba kaba zambu dan dingya ba gar thong thong na wati tonglen jam gong goris.
So we can engage in this practice anywhere we go. Whenever we see somebody who is experiencing an unpleasant state, we can do this practice. If we see someone who's dying or dead or scared or in a car crash or maybe drowning, or has been a victim of drowning, or been a victim of some sort of water-related disaster, or you know, any of these other types of suffering that we see everywhere we go, we can engage in this meditation practice of giving and taking. We can see the suffering, and we can imagine that we're taking their suffering on in the form of that black light, and we can imagine that we're giving all of our root forms of happiness to them. So we can do this meditation practice wherever we go.
Tiger on the news.
And we can even see on the news and the television and so forth where many beings are killed by wild animals, by maybe even lions or tigers. They have to kill many beings. So we can also do this giving and taking practice to them.
And also,
we might be at a party. where we're experiencing many wonderful things and seeing beautiful people and so forth. And we have to recognize that at this party, their experience of happiness was caused by something, and that there is a chance that it can change. So we could take, even when we're seeing beautiful things or a party, we could look at it in its true perspective and do the Tonglen practice and think about not only them, but all sentient beings simultaneously while we're doing it as well.
And the social NASA data, what the Nishumba Ina, and the Sinja Tajik doing it, the social thing on the NASA, the Sinja Tajik doing it, the Nalu Yuan, Gumba Ina, and the Pentuch.
It also could be beneficial, for instance, if you yourself have an illness or are feeling sick, and you can think to yourself that, oh, how wonderful this is, I've actually taken on all the suffering of other sentient beings, and it has come to me in the form of an illness or a sickness. So it's beneficial to think like this as well. So also, if we're experiencing suffering and we can think that, oh, how wonderful this is, because in the future I've eradicated the potential for this to ripen into something worse. So one can, if one has this attitude towards suffering, that the suffering itself is actually a purification of a previous misdeed, and that misdeed itself has been purified and can no longer ripen, then one can have a better attitude towards suffering and maybe not suffer so much as a result of it. So if we're feeling or experiencing happiness, then we can say this must have been a result of virtuous practice that we've engaged in. So we could do the giving and taking practice because this would increase our virtue and allow this experience to happen again. So we can also do it not only when times are difficult or suffering, also when they're right at their opposite time.
Then there's a
story of Geshe Chikawa, who made lots of aspirational prayers to be able to be reborn into the hell realm. Just why we were laughing, as Rinpoche told three quarters of the story and said, you know the rest of the story, tell it. So there was a master called Geshe Chikawa who made constant aspirational prayers to be reborn into the hell realm if it would help even one sentient being. So he constantly made these prayers to be reborn into hell, and at the time of death realized because of his clairvoyance that he was not going to be born into the hell realm, and he was actually going to be born into the gods' realms. And they said, how strange this is. All my life I've been praying to be born into the hell realm, and as a result I'm born into the highest realm I could achieve. And here this is an example of the power of cherishing others, or the motivation to cherish others, that it not only fulfills their needs, but also truly, in a sense, fills your own. So if one has an attitude that cherishes others, it doesn't matter how long one prays to be born into hell, they will always be born into a pure land. So no matter what we're engaging in, there isn't a time when we can't do the giving and taking practice.
Junyi Jusum. tuñi jisu maribe ngama nga su kashi she saro
bare
da je nya ba je gon si she ju
nyam de
don ne tuñi juji ne tuñi yo maribe
de
nando la jong le nando la jong
nyam de la jong na la dakshin nyam ba je dang ju je ne ma don nyam de
nyam do don ne tuñi ne
tambo semchen ta she ma she Okay, so there are various other explanations of this where it's combined with other practices, and sometimes there's 12 or 13 steps. But in this particular explanation, which is exclusively the giving and taking practice, there's five.
Mwen se chugi lembi chu, nindu, ni. Ta nga so genye ke dungba tanga tuzi lendu le, ane kanyi na chu sanje la chu shu le jene je gu duwa. Ten na jing chushin san tang, ane shan chu sen lo jang je, ane mwen se gado she chibu cha suna, ane mwen se chugi zongwa si. Ane chushin san tang, tele yon la dungba, yon la dungba sha se. Yola dhiyo ma shaa tse, dhani jiao ndu ji, ane pe ma langa sal dhu ne, ane dhendu ki tsi dhendu dhu ne, yang shaa ju sen pe dungwa lemon rabu ji ki, mwen sen chugi zhuwa si, wo tsu ma ten sen dhendu go sa re.
Mwen sen ni yorba, mwen sen chugi?
Mwen sen ta goya dang, mwen sen chugi lemon chu, ni xie yorwa da. Chugi lemon sena, inzi mwen sen yang len rwa da. Ane chushin san dang, dhali yola dhiyo ba. Choba naba dun tachin kazan jin zwaan, choba naba dun tachin si. Tene jiawndu ji, tene sen jen tangji la mi ne, ane mwen sen tu se, mwen sen tenbu zu ya ki chintu.
Lesson. Mwen sen
chuki zwaan si.
Okay.
Owa tene, tene ma yungu se.
Lesson. So here in the text, we move on through the ways in which to enhance the aspirational bodhicitta, or the aspirational mind that aspires to enlightenment. So in the beginning it speaks of what to do to first achieve this mental state, which is the desire to end the suffering of others completely. And then once one has the aspirational bodhicitta, which is arisen through familiarization, then there is the aspirational bodhicitta that is enhanced. And this enhanced form comes in a way that is very similar, it seems, to taking a bodhisattva vow, as explained in this text, where it says to facing paintings and so forth and making offerings and then doing a seven-limb prayer and taking refuge. And it says taking refuge, kneeling down. So this here is to enhance or strengthen the aspirational bodhicitta.
Wajit tak kau tu ini tu lulus aji lulus nama riba, dusan tegu lasu tang, dusan tegu lasu tang, ini tu na, cedeng tang semua tu cedeng lalu lasa semua, ini tu ni,
madu
dulu ngah bud, cuci bayi coba ja, kuzang sheli sumba hi coba nama tu ni ta jangs, tapi jangan dulu nama riba, jangan dulu wa, ane,
jangan
cuci ni bi tato ba, madu bayi sen tak ki kunci sumba rada tejin, saji kau madu jiba tu kunci sumba rada tejin. Bumai yebi langa sal zun tamu jane, ane mwesen chukwe zangu suwe zirwa, Wadde inchi tu tachi lu jana?
The shiloka chi, the injike yore, the shiloka gatsi dans, chiran de injike, the shiloka yore.
Tan de shanchu nibi tatu wa zun, tene, jiangdu dan, wadde nima yungu wa.
Jiangdu de, gongchi sum la rabdu jing.
Bama langa sazu ne, tamu jawa shi ne, du zirwa. Tamu jandu len sun shi.
Lai sa.
Dene sen jen tang jela ne, mian se gong gu riz, dene ulu ma lai gu riz.
Okay. Dene drowa lu lama san. Okay.
Dene sen jen tang jela, wad de tamu de la na.
Okay. Rinpoche's text doesn't have it broken into four stanza, so we have to kind of make sure, because it's not divided the same way the English is at all times. So it says, facing paintings, statues, and so forth of the completely enlightened one, reliquaries, here this means stupa, and the excellent teaching, offer flowers, incense, whatever you have, with the seven-part offering from the prayer of noble conduct, with the thought never to turn back till you gain ultimate enlightenment, and with strong faith in the three jewels, kneeling with one knee on the ground and your hands pressed together, first of all, take refuge three times. So here, this refers to the actual offerings, refuge, and the seven-limb prayer. Okay, so here it says, next, beginning with an attitude of love for all living creatures, considers beings, excluding none, suffering in the three bad rebirths, suffering birth, death, and so forth. Since then you want to be free, to free these beings from the suffering of pain, from suffering and the cause of suffering, arouse immutably the resolve to attain enlightenment. So here, this is speaking again of aspirational bodhicitta and the enhancement of it. Here it's talking about beginning with an attitude of love for all living creatures. And this love is the wish that they have happiness. So this stanza 10 is focused on love, and it doesn't exclude any beings whatsoever. So there are some beings who are experiencing the suffering of the lower realms. Some beings might be experiencing the suffering of change, the pervasive compounded suffering, the suffering of suffering, the suffering of birth, the suffering of aging, the suffering of sickness, and the suffering of death. So here, this states that the object of observation is all sentient beings, not excluding any. And then this number 11 stanza that says, you want to free these beings from the suffering of pain. Here this is compassion. So number 10 is focused on love, and number 11 is focused on compassion. And then who or what is the object of observation for this love and compassion? The object of observation is without any exclusion, all sentient beings.
Tande gen la rin ba go den so ja ta shamba de yabo yong ala si je ta je ma yin ba she wo is din ten ba din zo wa so mo de je da ge is si je ta je rang ma yin ba ka din je bo yin ba din zo wa sa lo so mo de yabo jong na an si je ta je me bi shamba yin wo gi na ba yong wo is so so aman da to yong wo is ma she ba din ten ba din tin zo a song de che da ke che bo res de song de yabo jong ba yin na an ne yong gi shamba de yabo yong wo res ma she ba din ten ba din zo a song lo de yabo me na yong gi shamba yong a ka le ka bo res.
So it's been stated in the commentary by Genlam Rinpa that it's very important for this love to actually be realized, or the love through the force of attraction to be actually realized, it's necessary to have those first steps of the seven-point cause and effect, which is recognizing all sentient beings as our mothers and remembering their kindness and wishing to repay their kindness. Because if we have this familiarization and it's very stable, then when we look to all sentient beings, that love through the force of attraction will naturally come. Because of our stable familiarization with those previous three steps. It's quite difficult to have that relative to all sentient beings, this love for all sentient beings, if one hasn't developed this previous attitude. And this is why it's been stated by Lord Maitreya and passed down to Asanga that one must first do these steps of recognizing all sentient beings as our mother, and then having this remembrance of her kindness, and then the final wish to repay that kindness in order to develop the love, or the love through the force of attraction. So this is why the two, three steps were explained as so important by Lord Maitreya. So if we then look to the various types of suffering and look at the lower realms, for instance, we look at the suffering of a hell being, we look at the suffering of a hungry ghost, we look at the suffering of an animal, and we look at all of the sufferings of all of the six realms, and we analyze them and become very familiar with the different kinds of suffering. And then we ourselves have developed renunciation or a desire to definitely get out of that cycle. Once we turn that renunciation we have towards other sentient beings, and we wish to definitely get them out of the suffering, then this becomes compassion, or meditation on compassion. So the difference is the focus of the renunciation is towards others as well as oneself. So the method to enhancement of this aspirational bodhicitta, or the method to stabilize it, is as taught in this. This is a meditation instruction. The first one thinks of the merit field, for instance, and thinks of all of the holy beings in front of one, and then makes various offerings, flowers, incense, whatever one has, and then makes a seven-limb prayer offering, and then gets down on one knee with great faith and takes refuge in the three jewels three times. And after that's taken place, then the practitioner sits down and does a meditation upon love, which is brought about through this explanation here, and then does meditation upon compassion. And then those meditations create the bodhicitta, and not only create it, once it's been created, it enhances it and strengthens it. You can find in the Lamrim Chemo, the great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment by Lama Tsongkhapa, maybe a little bit of a different explanation, but the meaning really is the same thing. This is what's been taught in here. Then Tambo Jowa Nipa. So in going over this, the three sections, we've already gone through the preliminary practice section where we do the actual prayers and make offerings and refuge and so forth. And we've gotten into the meditation on bodhicitta and the steps that lead up to the actual aspirational bodhicitta. And then in the next sessions, we'll go over what one does from there.
That junde menga du ge ma she tu su ngolo khasin 조선 모시에 잡으르소 계시 된 대류어스
So the seven-point cause and effect for achieving bodhicitta has been explained many times here, and I think in the, we have some in cassettes also if people would like to go back and become more familiar with that practice. Okay, so we'll conclude the session with the concluding mandala offering and dedication prayer. The long life prayers in Tibetan. So we'll do the whole page and the concluding mantra offering and dedication, and then we'll do the long life prayers in Tibetan. Are you gonna make an announcement about registration? You're gonna make an announcement about registration. If people didn't register, they can afterwards. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and all. May all sentient living beings enjoy this pure rain. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular, the essential teachings of Venerable Lozan Drapa to shine forever. I send forth this jewel mandala to you, precious Guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well. With whatever dedication I praise the Supreme by all the conquerors reverse the three times, I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious Yambel Bawu Jeda Jen Padam Gondu Zambu Deyan Dejinde Deda Gunji Jesu Dadoji Gewa Deda Tanje Ratu Mo Dusum Shepe Gewa Tanje Di Mawa Ganla Chotu Ngapade Da Jen Gewe Tsawa De Gunya Sampo Chuchi Ratu Mawa Di Gang Ri Ra We Ngo We Jin Yam De Ben Dan De Wa Ma Lu Yong We Ne Jen Re Zing Wang Jen Zen Ya Zoyi Yamezi Nimbandu Den Yonji. Lonzon zambo jonjen nangada yon rinja banzebe gewejen lo nandobe nemba zinjima yen zor wanda rinjen jamden yo lo nru uje jonga mumba ze zamben gozum donga danjun zen danjun zun Yeah.